Thank you for that worship. I want to thank the worship team for that this morning. Thankful for the opportunity that we have to be in the Lord's house and to worship Him. Forgive me, I forgot to get dressed this morning. The microphone, so I'm running a little behind here. I know that some of you have been waiting for this news, and you might not have heard it yet, but I just got news from Pennsylvania, from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, that Punxsutawney Phil did not see his shadow. That means we're going to have an early spring, okay? Just so I know that some of you wanted to know that, so I thought I'd fill you in on that information. We haven't had winter yet. I think we've been in spring, right? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we look at His Word this morning. Thank you, Lord, just for the wonderful opportunity that we've had to worship You in song. Lord, how those songs, as we sing every Sunday, remind us of Your work in our hearts and in our lives. And the work that You accomplished on the cross for each one of us. We're so thankful for this work, Lord, and we're just thankful that we have this opportunity, the freedom that we do in this country, to be able to come into this building, to be able to sing freely, to be able to open Your Word and study what You have for us here in Your Word. And I just pray for Your blessing on this day. And I would ask that Jesus, Lord Jesus, that You would be glorified, for we ask these things in Your name. Amen. I wanted to ask you a question, begin this morning by asking a question of you, make you think a little bit about your own life, and that is, are there certain people in your life that you look up to and admire? Are there certain people in your life that you look up to and admire? Have you ever thought about why you are drawn to them? Why you maybe respect them, or why their lives somehow captivate you? Is there some quality about the way they live their life, or maybe some characteristic about them that impresses you? Is it their popularity? Maybe it's their integrity, charisma, or personality that you admire. Are you impressed with their intelligence, their appearance? Maybe it's their strength that you're impressed with, or their wealth, or possibly their accomplishments or influence. Last Sunday, a man that was greatly admired by many was tragically killed, along with his 13-year-old daughter and seven others, in a helicopter accident. Of course, I'm speaking of NBA legend Kobe Bryant. He died at 41 years old, a very short life in comparison to some. Many are grieved by his loss. I don't know if you've watched the news or whatever, but you've seen out in Los Angeles, in front of the Staples Center, some of the sadness and the grief that people are showing out there. And they're grieving his loss not only because he was a former basketball superstar, but also because of the man he had become outside of basketball. He was a family man, and he was admired for his family life and the love that he had for his wife and his four daughters, as well as the value that he saw in other people. He truly meant much to many people. And as I thought about his loss, I also thought about, you know, I thought about those people that admire him, but I also thought about those people that I admire in my life. And I reflected back on God's Word and the people and the personalities that I have come to admire over the years that I have been a follower of Jesus. And as I have read their stories and come to understand the depths of their faith in God and in Christ, their lives have meant a lot to me. People like Nehemiah or King David, Samuel, Moses, Abraham, Peter, And one person in particular that sticks out this morning for me is the Apostle Paul. On every level, I admire him because on every level of his life, he exemplified what it means to live and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not a perfect man. None of us are. But he exemplified what it means to be a man of faith and live for Christ. And I've admired his life, and over the course of my own Christian life have learned much about not only his life, but of what it means to be a follower of Jesus and how to live as a Christian man in this sinful world. How did Paul do it? How did he live the kind of life he did for Christ in the midst of everything that he encountered in this life? Whether it was hardship or persecution, temptation or fear, how did Paul deal with it? How did he do it? Well, I believe in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we have the answer to that question. I believe that verse holds for us the secret for how Paul was able to do that. And that is, he identified with Christ. He identified with Christ. This verse is interesting because it's found in a portion of Galatians where Paul shares of an experience he had while he was in Antioch when he called Peter and the other Jewish Christians out for living a double standard life before the Gentiles. Now, some of us might know and have experienced that in our own lives. You know, we're one way around our brothers and sisters in Christ here at Faith Alliance Church on a Sunday morning, but when we get out there in the world, maybe we're different. Well, Paul had a little similar issue with some of the Christians, the Apostle Peter being one. You see, Peter and the others treated Gentile believers differently than they were when they were alone with them, than they did when they were in the presence of other Jewish Christians who still held to the strict observance of the law of Moses. They treated Gentiles as brothers and sisters in Christ with the same privileges and freedoms that they enjoyed. But when Jewish Christians who held to the strict practice of the law showed up, they cowered to them, giving the Gentile Christians the false impression that they needed to come under the law of Moses. Well, Paul reminded them that because of Christ, the law no longer was the means that God used to identify with his people. And so in this verse, Paul reveals his identification with Christ. And he does so in two ways. He does so by making a very bold statement, and he follows that up with a very bold claim, which helps us to see how Paul lived his life for Christ. Let's first consider that bold statement. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." No, I'm sorry, I'm going a little further. "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." What in the world is Paul talking about? He said he's been crucified with Christ. What does he mean when he says that? Well, we know with all certainty that Paul was not crucified on the day that Jesus was at Golgotha, was he? So what does he mean here by making such a bold statement? Is the Apostle Paul somehow hallucinating here? No. He is speaking of what happened to him. And not only what happened to him, but what happens to every person when they place their faith and their trust in Christ as Savior. Paul is saying, when Christ died on the cross for our sins, he too died. While not hanging there physically with Jesus on the cross, Paul was there when Christ paid the penalty for our sins. And the same is true of every individual who by faith has entrusted his or her life to Christ. We too have died, and our sin died with Christ at his crucifixion. Later in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, we read these words. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Paul claimed that he had been crucified, but he found himself still alive. Paul had died with Christ. It was his old self that had died. He proclaimed, "I no longer live." Paul, the once self-centered Pharisee who hated Christians, who persecuted Christians, who murdered Christians, the once violent and evil Paul, no longer lived. That person's sinful life had been crucified with Christ on the cross when Paul, by faith, entrusted his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Your old sinful self and my old sinful self died when we, by faith, received Jesus Christ into our life. The sins of the past died with Christ on the cross. No matter how ugly, no matter how heinous or hideous or how many they might have been, they died with Jesus. Now, to understand better what Paul is talking about, I want us to look a little bit more at that word crucified, because that's significant in this verse. It's a verb. The verb crucified used by Paul is found in the perfect tense in the Greek. And what that means is a past completed action with present results. A past completed action with present results. In other words, Paul has been crucified with Christ, and the result is still producing benefits and a positive outcome in his life. He is speaking of the conversion experience, a once and for all transaction that has ongoing benefits. Paul died with Christ, and as a result, he came alive in Christ. For it is no longer Paul who lives, rather it is Christ living in Paul. And what has happened to Paul has happened to every believer in Christ. When we are crucified with Christ, we turn our lives over to him. We relinquish our old life and turn to Christ and to his life. The self-centered self becomes the Christ-centered self. It is as if Paul is saying, my old life, my old goals, my old plans, and even my old relationships and my past experiences, all of them were nailed to the cross with Christ. Now I have a new life in Christ. And this new life I have came in and filled the empty places and spaces of my life that all those old pursuits could not fill or ever fill. Now Jesus lives in me and is the focus of my life. One of the examples I like of this is comes from many, many years ago, when the 4th century scholar Augustine was still without God and was without hope. And the Holy Spirit came to him and had been working on Augustine, and he convicted him on the basis of Paul's words in Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Paul says, "Rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." That verse, you know, all of us can go back to the verses that came to us. Well, this particular verse spoke to Augustine way back in the 4th century. And Augustine, from that verse, acknowledged his sinfulness, and by faith he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And as a result, he became a different person. He became a new creation in Christ. His entire outlook on life began to change because of his new nature, and this especially became evident to him on a trip to Rome, not long after his conversion. One day, he had to attend to some business in the city of Rome in one of his old haunts, we should say, a place where he had sinned greatly. Maybe you, in your past, after you came to Christ, you went back to one of those places. Well, he was there. And as he walked along, a former companion recognized him from across the street and called out, "Augustine! Augustine! It is I!" He took one look at the poor, wretched, disreputable woman whose company he had formerly enjoyed, and he shuddered to himself. Reminding himself of his new position in Christ, he turned and he ran from her, shouting, "It is not I! It is not I!" We all need to do that, right? We need to remind ourselves of our new position in Christ. You see, Augustine found the secret of Paul's words, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Let me ask you this morning. Are you experiencing the secret of Paul's words in your life? Because they're there for all of us to experience, right? These words are here to encourage you and to encourage me this morning in our walk with Christ. Augustine's old life, his old goals and plans, and even his old relationships and past experiences were nailed to the cross with Christ. He had a new life because Jesus Christ came in, praise God, and filled the empty spaces that all those old pursuits could not fill. Now Christ lived in Augustine, and Christ was the focus of his life. For this to be accomplished, there needs to be a radical cleansing of our old self nature, our old sinful nature and self nature. And this cleansing takes place when we entrust our lives to Jesus Christ as our Savior. But in addition, there also must be a turning to the empowering of Christ. For Jesus himself in John 15, verse 5, informed us, you know, "Without me, you can do nothing." And that day when Augustine ran, he had to have the power and the strength of Christ with him to run. Just as in repentance we turn away from sin and turn toward Christ, we must likewise turn from self in the flesh to self that is hidden in Christ. Paul shows us how we can do this, how we can turn from self to self hidden in Christ, by making this bold claim. The life I live in this world, I live by what? Faith. Faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul no longer focused his life on trying to please God. You remember, Paul was a Pharisee. Paul was a religious man. He was a spiritual leader in Israel at those times. But he no longer focused his life on trying to please God by obeying the laws and by being a good person. Instead, he claimed he lived life by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As believers who remain on this earth, we still live our lives here, don't we? In the flesh, in physical bodies that are prone to sin, prone to illness, prone to suffering. But with Christ in charge, we are new creations who, like Paul, can live by faith in Him. Now, the faith that Paul speaks of here in this verse is not a one-shot deal. In other words, it's not have faith, be saved, end of story, right? Rather, the faith that Paul speaks of here is a lifestyle, really. It's a lifestyle. We live by faith. The new life that we have in Christ is lived every day, every moment, through every situation by faith. Jesus, who is the object of our faith, is who we are trusting in daily. We have faith in Him. We have faith in His act of loving us and of His act of giving Himself for us. In other words, because He loved me and He died for me, He can also live in and through me as I, by faith, trust Him. What an incredible reality. Christ alive in me, living His divine life through me as I live by faith and Him and trust Him. In other words, when this is a reality for our lives, it means that we are so united with the Lord Jesus Christ that His experiences become our experiences. So what is this life of faith look like that Paul talks about in this verse? It is really an exchange life. Jesus's life for our life. You see, when we live by faith, we allow Christ to take control of our life. And our life takes on a new dimension that we could never know apart from Him. How does that look in real time? Well, let me just give you some examples. When we are weak, then Christ demonstrates His strength in our life as we go to Him in faith, asking for help. When we face circumstances that are beyond our control and comprehension, we have only to ask in faith. And the infinite wisdom of God is available to us. When we are faced with temptation, is there anybody here that's faced with temptation? Would you please raise your hand? Thank you, John. I saw the others. Yeah, we all are faced with temptation, right? When we are faced with temptation, as we go to Him in faith, He is faithful and provides a way of escape for us. When we are faced with a humanly impossible need, as we trust Him, what does God do? He does the impossible. I love His words to Abraham. Is anything too hard for God? Nothing. If we go to Him in faith, I don't care what you're going through right now. Nothing, nothing at all is too hard for God. When we encounter people whom we find difficult to love. Have you ever encountered anybody that you find difficult to love? Don't look at your spouse. I don't want you to do that. No, but we all do, right? We all do. But if we go to Him in faith and we pray for Him to help us, guess what? God expresses His unconditional love through us for those people. When we are at a loss as to how we should pray for someone, the Spirit of the living God who resides within us will lead us and direct us in how to pray and show us. You see, when Christ takes up residence in us as believers, all the fullness of God is available to us. So as we live by faith, what happens? We are allowing Christ to control every dimension and every aspect of our lives, because we understand, like Paul, that through him, we can experience life in ways that are far superior to anything that we can control on our own. No wonder he says some of the things he does. I like what he says in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Paul was able to say that because of the faith that he had in Christ. No wonder Peter was able to say in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is tremendous freedom in knowing that Christ controls your life and knows what it can become, rather than constantly worrying what we will face. Our greater challenge is to, by faith, continually release every area of our lives to Christ's control. I think the temptation that we all face is to try to do by ourselves what only Christ can do. Our difficult assignment is to live this life in the body by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. As believers, it's crucial to remember that only Christ can be Lord. And it's critically important that we allow him to live out his divine life through us. He is the only one who can do that. And that's why I admire Paul and desire, as a believer myself, to emulate his life. Like I said, he wasn't a perfect man. But he shows us how to live in this imperfect world that we live in. Paul was identified with Christ, both in his death and also in his daily life, as he allowed the living Christ to live out his divine life through him. And that's what I want and can have for my life, and so can you, who by faith have entrusted your lives to Christ as Savior. This morning, we have this wonderful privilege that we take part in first Sunday of the month. We come to this table that is set before us this morning, which represents the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and makes everything that we just talked about possible. It emphasizes, this table should also remind us and emphasize the death of each of us. The death of each of us who by faith have entrusted our lives to him as Savior. Let's just be quiet for a few moments, if we could, and prepare our hearts to take of this meal that God has provided for us.